You're about to be entertained by some of the biggest names in show business. For the next hour and 30 minutes, this program will present in person such bright stars as...
Fred Allen.
Lucien Boyer. Portland Hoffa.
Georgie Jessop.
Groucho Marx.
Ginger Rogers. Margaret Truman.
Meredith Wilson.
And my name, darlings, is Tallulah Bankhead.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Big Show.
So listen, America, the curtains of America, we're going to fill your parlor full of stars.
The Big Show, 90 minutes with the most scintillating personalities in the entertainment world. Brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at the same time as the Sunday feature of NBC's All-Star Festival. And here is your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable... Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, I'm a little sad today. This is our last show of the season before we return in the fall. And it has been a turbulent season. But in spite of the squabbles and the tantrums and the temperamental outbursts, all of us on the show have learned to know and appreciate one another to the fullest. And thank heaven we don't have to look at one another again for 4 months. And to you darlings, our listeners, thank you for those thousands of letters. I've read every one of them, and believe me when I say in all sincerity, I don't know how they allow stuff like that in the mail. But thanks really for those of you who were thoughtful enough to take the time and bother to sit at home and make all those cunning little gifts you sent me. I mean the ones that tick and have to be soaked in water. And if you think it's easy to soak those old things...
Speaking of old soaks...
What a cue for Groucho Marx. Well, Groucho, I can't tell you how happy we are to have you on here this week.
Why can't you? It's an hour and a half show.
All right, I will. Groucho, we are overjoyed.
We're overjoyed? I thought we were over New York. I just landed myself, you know. I left Hollywood an hour ago.
Oh, you flew in one of those jets?
That's right. An hour ago, I went into the kitchen, turned on a gas jet, lit a cigar, and here I am.
Oh, now, Groucho, I happen to know you got in last night. The trip must have been too much for you. You're just not all here.
Part of me is still over Kansas City. Fortunately, the part that counts is here. So let's neck.
Groucho, just relax. Go over now, darling, and sit down.
I can't. That's the part that's over Kansas City.
Well, at least you got here, so we have no beef coming.
Oh, yes, you have. All the way from Kansas City. Well, enough small talk. Let's neck.
Groucho, we have a show to do here. That's why we sent to Hollywood for you. And you got here just in the nick of time.
All right, let's nick. What are you doing after the show?
I have a date.
A fig for your date. Tallulah, I flew all the way out here just for you. And neither rain nor snow nor heat nor gloom of night shall stay this courier from the swift completion of his appointed rounds.
Groucho, that's the post office creed.
All right, let's play post office. Tallulah, for lo these many years I've admired you, man and boy. You were a cute boy, and now...
Hold it, Buster!
Ah, we could make such beautiful music together. Correction, I've heard you sing.
Groucho, are you trying to say in your halting, infirm way that you want to take me away from all this?
Oh, no, you can go on working. We have to live, you know.
I'd rather die.
Is that cheaper?
Well, we'll see if it is. If you're really interested, how about a mink coat?
Well, if you want to get me one. In this warm weather, I'd rather have a taffeta duster. Well, what do I care about clothes? This is the real thing, Tallulah. Ah, l'amour, l'amour. Say, that's an idea. Why don't I call Dorothy? She'd be so right for me.
Don't you mean so wrong?
Yes, that about covers it. Well, Tallulah, what about it? Won't you say the word that'll make me the happiest man in the world?
They won't let me say the word I'm thinking of, darling.
Come away with me, Tallulah, to my beautiful home in Hollywood. 15 rooms, you know.
15 rooms? Dear me, how many servants do you have?
Counting you, one.
Oh, I see. You're just looking for somebody to clean up your house. Well, any old maid can do that.
Well?
Oh, this sort of thing is wearing me out.
Well, when you get to my house, it'll be easier for you. You ought to see my cellar. I've got every electrical appliance to make it easy for you. Washing machine, electric iron, everything electric. Chairs.
Yes, I can just picture myself spending my life in a cellar.
Well, if it's good enough for the giants, it's good enough for you.
Now, just a censored minute about those giants. Don't you worry about them. You forget that DeRosio is leading the giants.
So is everybody else in the league.
Well, how did we get into this routine about the giants anyway?
I was asking you to play ball with me.
Well, you struck out, brother. Now, get back into the dugout while Meredith Wilson does a number here.
Oh, Meredith, I didn't see you.
Hello, Mr. Marks. You sure get off some good jokes, Mr. Marks. I've been enjoying your sallies.
I'll thank you to get your own girls.
Meredith, will you come away from him and lead your orchestra? Play that our Indian song you wrote, if you please.
The sun will shine, the rain will fall, and Iowa corn will grow and grow and grow and grow. Behind by the 4th of July in Iowa. Hey, I, ki, I, choo, oh, Iowa, Iowa.
That was simply divine. One of the most exciting tunes you've played all season. And won't I be happy not to have to listen to him for 4 months? Well, don't think I'm too happy about introducing our next guest, also from Hollywood. But a little too much competitive glamour in the person of Miss Ginger Rogers. She
Tallulah.
I don't think I'm competition to you. After all, we're different types. I'm a girl.
And what do you mean by that?
Oh, I mean I'm an outdoor girl and you're an indoor girl.
Well, I don't sleep in trees, if that's what you mean.
No, Tallulah. No, it's just that, well, all the men I meet are interested in outdoor sports, so I've developed some skill in athletics. When I go out with a man, I play better golf than he does, better tennis, I can swim better, sail better.
How do you get a man if you beat him at all those things?
I'm a terrible wrestler.
Well, tell me, gorgeous George, do you really enjoy all that sweaty, athletic mishmash?
Oh, it's wonderful exercise. Golf develops my arms, tennis develops my legs, swimming develops my shoulders.
And I see you've been taking deep breathing, too.
But, Tallulah, don't you ever take any exercise? Don't you ever?
Oh, I used to play golf, and quite well, too. I played golf in the 80s.
Oh, well, you ought to try it now. The game's changed a lot since then.
No, isn't she nasty?
I didn't mean to be, Tallulah. I'm only trying to show you how important exercising is. There's nothing like lifting a tennis racket to keep you trim.
Well, if you don't mind, Ginger, I don't like lifting tennis rackets. The sun gets in my eyes.
Well, you should use glasses.
Now, lifting glasses is another story.
You're making a mistake, Tallulah. Not taking up outdoor sports. A man treats you altogether differently when you're competing with him in sports. It makes you and him sort of buddies.
Well, tell me, Buddy Rogers.
This is Buddy Rogers?
No, Roger. This is Ginger Rogers.
Oh, well, in either case, how about you and me going out after the show?
Just a minute, Groucho. You made me that offer first.
Well, if Ginger turns me down, the offer still stands.
Well, I might, Groucho. Are you athletically inclined?
Of course. Let's wrestle.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not very good at that. How about a game of golf or tennis?
Well, I'd rather wrestle. But all right, I'll play you some golf or tennis.
Well, which will it be? Golf or tennis?
Well, I'll toss you. Best 2 falls out of 3.
Groucho, you're not going to get anywhere with her unless you're the outdoor type.
Is that all women are interested in today? A man who plays golf, tennis, sails a boat, rides a horse? Doesn't it mean anything anymore to a girl if a man can load a brownie camera? I'll get a laugh at that.
Groucho, the brownie camera went out with McKinley.
Really? Did his wife know about it? Well, how about it, Ginge? You want to go out with me?
Well, if you'll get somebody for Tallulah, I might consider it.
Very well. I have a friend. Oh, friend. Friend Alan.
Yes, Groucho.
Fred, how you fix the dough?
Well, I have a check for $26, Groucho.
Good. Can you get it cashed? Is it your check?
Well, not exactly. It's from my present sponsor, the Unemployment Insurance Bureau. You've perhaps heard of them, or you will in later life.
Tonight, I think.
Haven't you ever heard any of their commercial jingles on the air? Unemployment hits the spot, $26, that's a lot, twice as much as when you work. If you don't take it, you're just a jerk. Money, 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 money.
Compete with material like that, Fred. You better go sit down.
Well, that's the kind of material you should do sitting down, Groucho. Nobody will stand for it. I mean, but if you prefer...
They're moaning all around us, Fred.
If you prefer to get back to our sordid little plot, Groucho, I have an unemployment insurance check here for $26, which may pay for an evening on the town with these two emeritus frails that you have here. Here, Groucho, you take the check. It's a government check.
How are we going to get it cashed? Does anybody here know the government?
Well, fortunately, I happen to see sitting on the stage here a junior partner in that business. Now, maybe she will cash it.
True, man, true. Well, guys, we're all set to take you out.
You've already taken us out of the script. I didn't think I was supposed to go off the air till next week. I've been listening to you two elderly gentlemen exchanging those equally elderly and well-rehearsed ad-libs with ill-concealed contempt. Now, if you two can make it back to your seats and let us get on with the show, we may consent to go out with you later.
I'm pretty versatile. I can die on either mic. What was your last sign? You may consent to go out with us later, is
later,
it?
Darling. Much later.
Well, Tallulah, Tallulah, that's a bargain.
And now I'm going to sing.
Tallulah, you drive a hard bargain.
Song I want to sing here.
Oh, well, Ginger, you're my guest, darling. What's the song?
It's so nice to have a man around the house.
Oh, going in for indoor sports now, huh? All right, Meredith, let's have it. Music, darling, if you please.
No question about it. A man is a problem. He'll drive you out of your mind. He'll cheat and deceive you. That is, if you let him. And yet, you'll find it's so nice to have a man around the house. Oh, so nice to have a man around the house. Someone sweet who's glad he found you, who will put his arms around you, and his kisses just astound you. They're so nice. Oh, a house is just a house without a man. He's the necessary evil in your plan. There are many things about him you just cannot do without him. Though it's just a constant game of cat and mouse. It's so nice to have a man around the house. It's so nice to have a man around the house. How nice to have a man around the house. Just a guy in pipe and slippers who will share your breakfast kippers, who will help you zip your zippers. It's so nice. Oh, a house, what's a house without a man? He's the necessary evil in your plan. Someone kind who knows you treasure any simple little pleasure, like a full-length mink to cover last year's blouse. It's so nice to have a man around the house. So nice. So nice.
That was a lovely song, Ginger. A lovely song, and I like the way you did it. I just don't happen to agree with the philosophy of the song. Nice to have a man around the house. As far as I'm concerned, a man around the house is just a dust cutter.
Yes, but in the old days, a man around the house could have come in real handy.
Well, I'll take your word for it, darling. I wouldn't know about the old days.
I'm talking about the days when Mother did all the work.
Oh.
Meredith showed me a poem about that this morning. About the way they used to do things back in Iowa. Would you like to hear it?
Not particularly.
If Meredith will let me have it, I'll read it to them.
Oh, all right. Meredith!
Yes?
Do you have that poem you were showing Ginger this morning?
Well, sir, Miss Bankhead...
Never mind that. Just give it to her.
Thank you, Meredith. It's entitled Mother. Mother, on a winter's day, milked the cows and fed them hay, slopped the hogs, saddled the mule, and got the children off to school. Did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows and did some chores, cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood, and then lugged in enough to fill the kitchen bin, cleaned the lamps, put in the oil, stewed some apples she thought would spoil, cooked a supper that was delicious, and afterwards did all the dishes. Fed the cat, sprinkled the clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play. When you come to the end of a perfect day.
That's very nice, Ginger. But mothers today have a tougher time than the old mothers used to have. Now, Groucho was reading me a poem this morning. Groucho?
Yes? Walk 300 feet, just say yes.
What was that poem you decided to read this morning, darling? That poem you read about this morning.
This poem this morning? Oh, it was nothing. Just something I read in the back of a barn.
No, not that one. Here's the one I mean. Now, listen to this, Ginger. Mother on a winter's day awakes and finds her hair is gray. She hustles down to the beauty shop and there proceeds to blue her top. Her husband says he liked it better when she was young and her hair was redder. She tensed at this and she tensed at that and then discovers she's getting fat. So she's determined she's got to reduce because this is flabby and that is loose. Now they tighten, bolt and hinge her till she looks just like our Ginger. She hurries home to the man of her life to show him his new and beautiful wife. But when she gets there, it's late at night, and she remembers he went to the fight. She turns on the TV, gives the dial a twirl. There's the louse at the ringside with a beautiful girl. And at the sight of him, her hair turns gray. And this is the end of a perfect day. Darlings, it is time to introduce our next guest, our charming visitor from Paris, Lucien Boyer.
Hey, Toulou, how about introducing me to Lucien Boyer? Maybe she'll go out with me. Fred, how about it? Did you get that check cash?
Yes, Groucho, but I don't know whether the Unemployment Bureau will like it if I go out and spend this whole $26 on wine, women, and orchestration.
You don't sound very enthused about this little shindig I'm arranging for tonight. Don't women mean anything to you?
Well, yes. I accept the fact that there are women, but beyond that, well, I seldom get beyond that, so I just ignore them.
Well, Fred, with me, it's vice versa. Really? And mostly vice.
Just a minute, Groucho. If you think you can get the lovely Lucien Boyer to go out with you on Fred's unemployment check and your old age pension check, you'd better think again. $26. You know how much that is in francs. Do you know how much a franc is worth today?
Well, with mustard and sauerkraut, a franc is 15 cents. On $26, we can paint the town mustard. What do you say, Fred?
Well, yes, I guess I will, Groucho. It's been a long time since I've done this. I haven't had a frankfurter in years.
Oh, Fred!
Yes, Portland. You were saying, Portland?
It's time to take your pill. You'd better come home.
Oh, I'm coming, Portland. Sorry, Groucho. I've got to go.
Well, that's what they say in Maine. As Portland goes, so goes the nation.
And so goes the program. So why don't you go, Groucho, darling, and let me present Miss Lucien Boyer in one of her famous Parisian songs, Parlez-moi d'amour. Merci, de tout.
Dites-moi des choses tendres, votre beau discours, mon cœur n'est pas là de l'entendre. Pourvu que toujours vous répétiez ces mots suprêmes, je vous aime. Vous savez bien que dans le fond je n'en crois rien, mais cependant je veux encore écouter ces mots que j'adore, votre voix au son caressant, qu'il est murmurant, frémissant, me berce de sa belle histoire, et malgré moi je veux y croire. Dites-moi des choses tendres, votre beau discours, mon cœur n'est pas là de l'entendre. longing to heal. Then the woes of love repeat, then again I implore you. Whisper these words to me, dear. I adore you.
Charmant, Lucienne. Simply charmant.
Merci, Tallulah.
I've been admiring that stunning gown, Lucienne. I know it's a Parisian model because I haven't seen anything like it around. Is it a Christian Dior or Mamaché or Schiaparelli?
No. A Brehm and Strauss.
Abraham and Strauss? Oh, come now, darling. You didn't get that gown in New York.
You're right, Tallulah. A Brehm and Strauss? He's in Brooklyn.
Well, I knew it was an import. Oh, Lucien, I want you to meet some of our other guests there. This is Ginger Rogers, Lucien Boyer.
Oh, comment allez-vous, Ginger?
Très bien, merci. Et vous?
Très bien, merci.
And, Lucien, this is Mr. Fred Allen. Fred, Miss Boyer.
Oh, Monsieur Allen, je suis enchantée de faire votre connaissance.
Well, it was a quiz show. I was on... 17 years, you see, and they put this quiz show on opposite me. So now, voila, I collect unemployment insurance every week.
An unemployment insurance?
Oui.
What is it? Unemployment insurance?
Well, now, let me see, darling. In French, that would be, oh, yes, the Marshall Plan. Oh, and here's Groucho Marx, Miss Boyer.
Oh, comment allez-vous, Monsieur Marx?
Oh, comment allez-vous? Let me see what that means. Comment, that's the old come on. Alley, well, everybody knows what an alley is. And vous, that can only mean one thing. So come on out in the alley and we'll pit some vous.
You've been listening to Meredith Wilson's Big Show Orchestra and Chorus. We'll be back in a moment after I say that this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Show. This is the National Broadcasting Company Sunday Extravaganza with the most scintillating personalities in show business. The Big Show, the Sunday night feature of NBC's All-Star Festival, is brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by famous Canon Towels, the towels that give you the most for your money in beauty, value, lovely color, and design. The big stars in this program are Fred Allen, Lucien Boyer, Portland Hoffa, George Jessel, Groucho Marx, Ginger Rogers, Margaret Truman, Meredith Wilson and the Big Show Orchestra and Chorus, and every week, your hostess, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead.
Well, darlings, I'm on my last lap. I mean, the show, of course. In 1 hour, we'll have come to the end of our first season. Well, there was some talk about my taking the big show on the road for the summer. I'd gone to NBC and asked them what they wanted me to do this summer, and they said, hit the road. But since this is our last show for the season, we are delighted that we can bring to you one of the most colorful figures, not only in show business, but on the American scene today. He is an actor, an author, producer, Hollywood's ambassador of goodwill, the Toastmaster General of the United States, George Jessel.
Thank you, Thelma Bernstein. Thank you. Dr. Lee, you're very, very kind.
Well, Georgia, darling, I'm so glad you could come on our program this week. Because this is the last show of our season. I feel a little sad. And after all, you are famous for all those speeches you make. At banquets, testimonial dinners, and so many funerals.
Yes, well, I'm glad you told me why I'm here, dear. I have been invited to speak at so many occasions that sometimes I become confused. Now, one day I was saying a few kind words over the body of a friend of mine, and suddenly the guy got up.
Goodness, what did you do?
Well, I'm always prepared. I sang two choruses of Some of These Days, you see. What about this show, my dear? There is no confusion. I know where I am and why I am here.
Well, make your speech, Georgie.
Very well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here to say a few kind words over this show. And as it must to all hour and a half shows, the end comes to this show tonight. I knew this show when it was first born, 27 weeks ago. I was there when they christened it, the big show, named after its star. And by some accident of fate, it was born poor, born into radio instead of television. Fortunately, this hapless infant was blessed with four godfathers, a wolfy-headed tablet manufacturer, a millionaire record maker, a rich cigarette fellow, and a big towel man. If the show gave you a headache, you took an Addison. If you didn't like it, you can plug in your ear an RCA record player and smoke a Chesterfield besides. And when things really got bad, you could take a nice, fluffy Cannon towel and stuff it in your ear. As time went on, the show grew some, and it was pretty. It was pretty gruesome. And so to you bereaved fans, I can only offer one word of comfort. Try not to think of it as losing a show, but rather think of it as gaining an hour and a half. Because, my friends, life must go on. When the chicken dies, it leaves behind an egg, and the egg becomes a chicken. And ladies and gentlemen, the eggs that this show has left behind, I want to tell you...
Those who want to take one last look at Jessel, now's your time.
Honey, give me time to record a speech that I could say over myself.
You expect to make a speech over yourself?
I should give Eddie Cantor that satisfaction? No, I was only kidding about the program to Lulu, because out in Hollywood, every Sunday, everybody's out playing golf, but not me. I sit in front of the radio and I listen to your show.
Oh, darling, that's very sweet.
Of course, I don't play golf. But tell me, Tallulah, I want to speak to you now seriously in my capacity as a motion picture producer.
Mm-hmm.
When are you thinking of making another picture?
Constantly. Oh, are you still with the 20th Century Fox?
Oh, yes, I've been with the company many years.
Yes, I know. When you started there, darling, it was the 19th Century Fox, wasn't it?
That was about the time you made Lifeboat for us. You haven't made a picture for 20th Century Fox since then, have you, Tallulah?
I beg your pardon. You evidently don't know what it's all about. I made one there that won the Academy Award a few eves ago.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't make that kind of picture. I make pictures with Dan Daly and Betty Grable. Gorgeous, color, musical, want us.
Want us?
Yes. First he wants her and she don't want her. And she wants her and he don't want her. And for 90 minutes, nobody wants her at the same time. Finally, they both want her, and that's the end of the picture.
By that time, the audience wants her their money back.
No, that's the kind of a picture that you should make, Tallulah, where he wants her and you don't want her.
Oh, a fantasy. No, I don't think so, Georgie. I'm more interested in something dramatic and exciting. As a matter of fact, I'm writing a wonderful picture now. It's the story of my life.
The story of your life?
Of course, it's incomplete.
Well, come around and see me when it ends. If you can't, I'll always be there. You know me. I'm always there at the end to say a few words.
Well, you do that, darling. And if I'm not there, you can start without me.
When we ask you to try Anacin for the relief of pain due to a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, we are not asking you to try a new or unproved method. For there are many people listening in now who have been introduced to Anacin tablets by their own dentist or physician. You who have received Anacin this way know the effective, incredibly fast relief these tablets bring. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. People by the thousands are using modern Anacin today instead of other ways. Doesn't their experience seem worth following? Try Anacin the next time you suffer pains from headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted with the results. Ask your druggist for Anacin today. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N.
Oh, Tallulah.
Yes, Fred?
Say, as I was sitting back there, chuckling at Mr. Jessel, a thought suddenly wafted through my mind. I've had it open for the summer, you know. Cross ventilation. The thought suddenly occurred to me that when this show goes off the air for the summer, you are going to be unemployed for 4 months. Now, since I have been in that same business for many months...
What business is that?
No business. There's no business like no business. Well, of course, now you're going to be eligible for unemployment insurance.
Oh, but Fred, I don't have to be unemployed. I can get all kinds of...
Tallulah, please, please, don't talk like that. The first thing you know, Congress will be passing a law abolishing unemployment. So let us drop this brave and optimistic, if you'll pardon the expression, front. And let me explain to you how you go about getting this weekly tithe of $26.
How tithe can you get on $26?
Tallulah, unlike our audience here, you are not taking this seriously. Now, here's all you need to do. Here's all you need to do. Now, you get up at 9 o'clock, take the subway down to the unemployment office, and you stand in line.
I get up when? And take the what? To the which and stand where?
Well, you are making it sound awfully difficult. Would you mind repeating that one octave higher, if you...
Oh, Fred, getting up at such a ghastly hour. 9 o'clock in the evening.
No, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Fred, are you trying to tell me there's a 9 o'clock in the morning, too?
Surprise.
Oh, well, I wouldn't feel right, Fred, going down there and collecting money. No, no, darling, you're not doing anything for it. Why, nobody should take money for doing nothing.
You haven't been watching television lately, have you? Well, look, it's quite simple. The first thing you have to do at the unemployment office is to fill out a form. But, of course, they'll probably skip that with you. All they'll ask you to do is write down your name, your address, your Social Security number, and your age.
That does it, age. They can keep that $44. I mean, that $26 a week.
Well, Tallulah, you are entitled to that $26 a week.
Well, now, can't I just open a charge account, Fred? They can send it to me.
Excuse me.
Yes, what is it, Portland?
Well, while I was sitting back there, a thought suddenly wafted through my mind.
Yeah?
I had it open for the summer. Cross ventilation, you know.
Portland, that happens to be one of my jokes. I have told it already. You know, there is a limit to how far this community property thing can go.
Excuse me, Fred. I was on the wrong page.
Well, now, look, Portland, take my advice. When you're on the wrong page, never read one of my lines. Read one of Groucho Marx's lines and get yourself a laugh at least.
What I started to say, Tallulah, was that if you can't get down to the unemployment office, I'll be glad to stand in for you. I go there anyway to collect my check.
And you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, it's no trouble. It's on my way to work.
Now, Portland, please, your voice carries.
Hello, Tallulah.
Hello, Margaret. Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Truman.
Tallulah, While I was sitting back there, a thought suddenly wafted through my mind.
Well, that's the third term for that joke.
Hello, Fred. Do you remember me?
Why, of course I do. I was on the show the last time you were on. Why, I even remember the song you sang, Margaret, Love Is Where You Find It. And I even remember that dress you wore. It was a green bouffant taffeta caught at the neck with a Hershey bar. Am I right?
That's remarkable.
Oh, I have a memory like a jackass.
You mean a memory like an elephant, don't you?
Well, you vote your way, I'll vote.
Margaret, you met Portland Hopper, darling.
Certainly. Hello, Portland.
Hello, Excellency.
Margaret, it's so nice to have you on our last show for the season. We're disbanding for the summer, you know.
Yes, I know. Where are you going to spend your summer, Tallulah?
Well, I haven't quite made up my mind. I have a beautiful place in the country, but I had such a bad experience there last winter when I went there for a weekend. I slipped on the ice and was laid up for 2 weeks. How my foot ever got in that glass, I'll never know.
Say, Tallulah.
Yes?
Why don't you pack your mink sleeping bag with the rhinestone zipper... and come to visit us this summer. We have a very nice place in New Hampshire.
We'd love to have you, Tallulah. It's beautiful country. On a clear day, you can see the Alps.
The Alps in New Hampshire?
George and Betty Alps. They live about a mile down the road.
I'd love to have you come with me, Tallulah. I'm thinking of going down to Key West for some sailing and fishing.
Oh, Key West, I'd adore that. I love the ocean. And I'd like nothing better than to get up every morning at the crack of noon and go sailing.
That's good. I might even take some singing lessons down there.
Oh, but that's wonderful, Margaret. Maybe I could take a few lessons, too. Oh, that sounds entrancing, sailing along Key West and singing.
That's for you, Tallulah, singing off Key West.
Isn't he unemployed? Well, Margaret, how about a song from you?
But, Tallulah, I thought if I came on the program, you'd let me do some acting. I'm an actress now. Did you hear me on the radio with Jimmy Stewart and Jack Pop?
Oh, I never listened to those quiz shows, darling.
No, it was a dramatic program. I acted a part. That's what I think you can use on this show. An actress.
Let's not have any of that nonsense here, Maggie. Besides, we have no time. The program is much too full.
Oh, that's a shame. I was looking forward to acting with a great actress like you.
Oh, well, of course, darling. Isn't he sweet? Well, now, let me see. I can cut out Fred Allen and Groucho, of course, and Jessel. And Ginger Rogers is too competitive anyway. Now, you go ahead and sing, and I'll figure out something for a little later, huh? What is your song, Margaret?
Un motto di gioia by Mozart.
Meredith, how about some accompaniment for Margaret, if you please?
Un motto di gioia mi sento in vita che non si rivedo in mezzo di mor. Alla fanno non se predirà
Il faro e la poi.
Here's the word from RCA Victor. It's good company anywhere. Yes, anywhere, anytime. There's fun at your fingertips with an RCA Victor portable radio. At home or away from home, on your bedside table or at the beach, it's great to own the pick of the portables, an RCA Victor. You'll enjoy that extra range. You'll rave about the tone, thanks to RCA Victor's exclusive Golden Throat Tone System. Yet your RCA Victor portable boasts a compactness and lightness you never dreamed possible. Most important of all, you get the strongest reception ever achieved on battery operation. Because RCA's radio batteries are radio engineered for top performance and extra listening hours. Yes, on every count, an RCA Victor portable radio is great company anywhere. Take your pick of the many beautifully styled models at your RCA Victor dealers. Remember to insist on RCA Victor.
Well, Tallulah, do I get to do some acting now?
Yes, darling, I think you and I can do a little dramatic sketch now. Because we had planned originally to have Groucho Marx sing a song here. But I'm sure he won't mind, because Groucho is sweet, lovable, generous, and considerate.
That is a base canard, and when you say it, it's very base.
Groucho, would you like to meet Margaret Truman?
Why not? I'm democratic.
Hello, Groucho.
Hello, Margaret.
Would you give up that song you were going to do so Tallulah and I can do a dramatic sketch?
I just turned Republican.
Now, Groucho, you've been very well represented on this show.
So she sings and I can't. What are we coming to? Taxation without representation. I demand a vote.
All right, that's an idea. We'll put it to a vote. Fred, I want to ask you something.
Well, you see, it was a quiz show, and they put it on opposite me.
Well, we know where you stand.
In the unemployment line.
Ginger, come over here a minute, will you, darling? Margaret, have you met Ginger Rogers? Well, you two should know each other. You're both from Independence, Missouri.
Oh, certainly. How are you, Ginger?
Hello, Margaret.
Oh, Ginger, before you two get involved, we're having a discussion here. Now, Groucho Marx wants to sing a song, and Margaret Truman wants to appear in a dramatic sketch. Which do you vote for?
Well, this is a switch for me, but I vote for Truman.
I'm going to tell your old lady. I demand a recount.
Well, Groucho, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll leave it to Georgie Jessel to arbitrate. Georgie, come here, will you, darling? We're having a discussion.
Yes, I've been listening. Hello, Margaret, my dear. It's good to see you.
Hello, Georgie. Well, what are you for? Listening to Groucho sing or hearing me do a dramatic sketch?
This is a choice? I wonder, the movies are better than ever. However, as I see this, it boils down to the basic problem that is facing all of us today. Truman or Marx? Naturally, I am proud to vote for Truman.
You see, Groucho, you lose. Now, just accept your question.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me. It's just a little song I had that would wake up this whole audience. A little schnitzel called Go West, written by Calman Ruby. Harry Ruby, that is.
Do you mean that song Go West from the picture you made called Copacabana?
Now, well, I'll tell you what. Let's hear it. And if it's no good, we won't let him do it.
Okay. Well, sing it, Groucho. Let's hear how it goes.
Mr. Horace Greeley was no fool. I'm sure that you'll agree with me that Greeley was no fool.
What he is getting at is that Mr. Greeley was no fool. The wisdom of that man can be denied by none, for he's the one who said,
before you go to Buffalo, to Baltimore or Borneo, to Eastern Pennsylvania or Japan,
go west, young man.
If you go to that land, sonny, you will make a lot of money. If you bring the money with you when you come
to the Lord's prairie.
Before you read a travel ad and scamper off to Trinidad, to Albany, New York, or Yucatan,
go west, young man.
In the east they live on donuts, in the west the natives grow nuts, and I'll guarantee you'll go nuts if you come
to the Lord's prairie. Yippee-yi, yippee-yi.
Yippee-yi, yippee-yi, yippee-yi.
A cowboy's gal is a real true pal. She will stick to him right or wrong. She don't say nothing and she don't do nothing. She don't know nothing and she don't want nothing but a horse and a cowboy. For she just keeps rolling along.
Go west, young man. Go where the air puts hair on your chest, young man.
You can ride a bucking bronco or a pony. You can cut a calf in half and make baloney.
Go west, young man. Go right out there and give them the very best you can.
Don't go east, don't go south, don't go north, have a care. Don't go up, don't go down, don't go here, don't go there. If it's true what they say about Dixie,
go west, young man.
Go out and till the soil there. Dig for gold and you'll find oil there. As the crow flies, when the snow flies, go
westward home.
If you are fond of hunting, there's no place that can compare. You may not bag a lion or a tiger or a bear, but if you want a jackass, there are plenty of them there.
Go west, young man. We suggest you go west, young man.
The judges there are very fair. They always are, of course. A cowboy and his missus went to court for a divorce. The missus got the children, and the husband got the horse.
Go west, young man. We suggest you go west, young man.
In sunny California, when the clouds are breaking loose and you complain about the rain, they give you this excuse. It isn't raining rain, you know. It's raining orange juice.
Go west, go west, young man.
Well, Georgie, shall we let him sing it?
It's no good, and I don't like it. I won't sing it.
Good. Tallulah?
Yes?
May we do our dramatic sketch now?
Not just yet, Margaret, darling. Here's some great, big, important news just for us girls.
Now, right now is the time to get famous Cannon towels. Big Cannon towel sales are booming all over town. They're packed with value. Don't wait. Get to your store today and get in on these great money-saving Cannon sales.
Cannon towels give you the most for your money.
Cannon towels absorb more, wear longer, stay lovely longer.
You'll need more towels for summer. Get famous Cannons now. The big, fluffy, thirsty towels in every size. Bath towels, hand towels, and washcloths to match. Complete ensembles. 18 beautiful colors to choose from.
More people buy Cannon towels than all other towels combined. Get the most for your money. Get Cannons. Get them now, right now, in the big, big, big value-packed Cannon towel sales.
How do you like this radio bit? Look at this plot. He should sing, he shouldn't sing, he sings anyhow. Then we was going to sing anyway. The whole thing takes an hour and a half, then a man comes down selling towels for 1 minute, and he pays for the whole simmers we got here.
Well, Tallulah.
Yes, darling?
May we do our dramatic sketch now?
Okay, we'll do it now.
Oh, excuse me, Tallulah. You'll have to wait just a moment while I remind everyone that this portion of the program has been brought to you by the makers of Anacin. For fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by famous Cannon towels, the world's most popular towels. The towels that give you the most for your money. And now, Tallulah, would you care to ring your chimes?
Why, thank you, Ed. I certainly would. We'll be back in a moment with all of our stars. In the meantime, darlings, I just want to say that this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is the Big Show, and here is Tallulah Bankhead to introduce her next guest.
Yes, darlings, I promised Margaret Truman that she could do some acting with me. And now we're just
about... You know, Tallulah, this is a very nice thing that you're doing for this young girl, because I happen to have heard Miss Truman when she acted with Jimmy Stewart in Hollywood, and she was very fine. I'm saying that not because she's somebody's daughter. I would have said it even if she won as Cantor's daughters. What do you think of that? And while we're on the subject of Hollywood, Tallulah, I would like to say a few warm words about the place. Sweet Hollywood, fairest village of the film, is the most sinned against and censored locale in the world. And this is the penalty that glamour must pay. Because it is the mecca of all the stage-struck people in the world. And their opinions are formed by how sweetly Hollywood smiles upon them. Actors, actresses, authors, and directors, if they get a good contract, there's no place like Hollywood in all the world. Broadway is Coney Island. Zanuck is a genius. And Mayer is a great gentleman. If the actors, actresses, authors, and directors have their options dropped, aye, there's the rub. Then Hollywood is a sewer with service from the Waldorf Astoria. And Broadway is the only place in the world. And when you leave it, you're camping out. Hollywood, fui. Mayer is a jockey and Zanuck is a schlemiel. None but the ones on the east side, on the inside, realize how tough it is to get anything on the screen. Now let me explain something. You are subject to every synthetic element in making a motion picture. An emotional close-up is made. My baby, the actress wails. The tears stream from her eyes. Cut, says the director. Even the electricians applaud. But the following day, when they receive what they call the rushes, the film shows that a little baby fly walked through the close-up, and this fly turns out to be as big as Sophie Tucker. Every newspaper in the world lays in wait to exaggerate or embellish each incident on the Hollywood scene. An actor friend of mine stopped on the street the other day. An excited man asked him, say, what do you think about a man who rides around in the middle of the night on a horse yelling? My friend said, I think he's crazy. Oh, yeah? Knocking Paul Revere, huh? You're red. And let me tell you something. It's so much harder to produce for the screen than it is for the theater or the bookstore. For the screen producer does not have the complete canvas of life to paint upon. He's held within the tight bonds of continually having in mind the pre-adolescent age and the strict chains of several forms of censorship. This censorship is oft times wise, and many, many times it's... Anyway, it still has to be saluted by the motion picture producer. Now, for example, in most of the plays in the books that are currently successful, let's take a book like From Here to Eternity. All we'd be able to use in the pictures are a few lines like, here he comes now, or tell Sam I'll be back soon. Suppose I tried to produce for the screen South Pacific. Well, you know how the play opens? Señor Pinza crosses a crowded room to have an enchanted evening, and he talks about the two children that are on the stage with him. We'd have to change that for the screen. Those kids would have to turn out to be two young Annapolis cadets who single-handed lifted the battleship Missouri off the shoals of Chesapeake Bay. But, of course, Mrs. Hammerstein and Rogers can do no wrong. Added to their great genius, whatever they touch is open sesame to success. They opened a new play in Boston not long ago and played an old theater there. Not only was the play an immediate success, but while rehearsing in the cellar, they found a trunk full of gold left by Lotta Crabtree in 1880. And so I like Hollywood. Personally, I've had a fine time there the last 8 years producing pictures. But as you know, or most of you do, I've spent a lifetime on the stage. I was 9 years old when I first went on over 26 years ago. And, easy. And, matter of fact, I can't remember the night I made my debut. I only remember that the cornet player in the orchestra was General Custer. And we call him Sonny, Sonny Custer. But oft times, my friends and Tallulah, I am confused with my contemporaries. This morning, while coming to the studio, a lady rushed up to me and said, Mr. Jessel, I haven't seen you in many years. I remember when you played my own hometown in Rubber Nose, Wisconsin in 1910. You're all blacked up. You came out on the stage and you sang California, Here I Come. Well, I see that lady before me now, and it was not me who sang that song. It was the great Mr. Jolson. So, Meredith, play California and C for the lady, and I'll sing it as he might have done it in 1910. California, here I come. Right back where I started from. The flowers bloom in the spring.
Each morning at dawn, little birdies sing like anything. A sun-kissed miss said, honey, don't be late. You know that I can hardly wait. Open up that golden gate, California. Here I come. Ah, California. Here I come, yeah. Right back where I started from. The flowers, the bowers, bloom in the spring. Each morning, at dawn, a little birdie sing like anything. A sun-kissed mist said, honey, don't be late. You know that I can hardly wait. Open up, open up, open up that golden gate, California. Here I
said to me, well, Mr. Jessel, you're looking older than you did before. I remember you in the Follies of 1908. How are your five daughters? Here's to He-Man. If you knew Susie like I know Susie. Oh, 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 what a girl. This sweet young lassie is so, so classy. Oh, 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 my goodness, what a chassis. I had a mustache as cute as a pup. Susie kissed me, and she burnt the darn thing up. If you knew Susie, like I know Susie. Oh, oh, what a girl.
Well, there's only one Georgie Jessel, and we are thankful we finally got him on the big show.
Now, Tallulah?
Yes, now, darling. Margaret, get into your grease paint, and we're ready to present one of Dorothy Parker's most famous tales, entitled Advice to the Little Peyton Girl. The time is always. The characters, Sylvie Peyton, played by Margaret Truman, and I play her older, wiser, and oh so understanding confidant, Miss Marion. The scene is my living room. Sylvie Peyton has come to me with her problem, the Barkley boy, whom she hasn't seen for 2 full weeks.
What shall I do, Miss Marion?
You like him so much. Really, Sylvie?
Yes. You see, it's so awful without him. It's so awful. You see, we saw each other every day, every single day, all summer. And he'd always telephone me when he got home, even if he left me 10 minutes before. And he'd always call me as soon as he woke up to say good morning and tell me he was coming over.
Every day?
Every day. Oh, Miss Marion, you don't know how lovely it was.
Oh, yes, I do, dear. I know, Sylvie.
And then it just stopped. It just suddenly stopped.
Suddenly, Sylvie?
Well, one night, you see, he'd been over at our house. We'd been sitting on the porch. And then he went home and he didn't telephone me. And I waited and waited. I can't tell you how awful it was. You wouldn't think it would matter that much that he didn't call up, would you? But it did.
I know it did. It does.
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything. It got to be 2:30. I couldn't imagine what had happened. I thought he'd smashed up in his car or something.
I wonder if you really thought that, dear.
No, Well, you see, there was a dance at the club, and we'd sort of thought of going. I didn't want to go to dances very much. It was much nicer just being alone with him.
Of course, Sylvie.
I guess what I thought was that he'd gone on to the dance when he left our house. And I got so I just couldn't stand it.
Yes, Sylvie, and what did you do?
I called him up.
I see. So you called him up. How old are you, Sylvie? 20-something, aren't you? Well, I've seen women of 30-something make just the same mistakes. And was he at home when you called?
Yes. I woke him up, you see, and he wasn't very nice about it.
And he hadn't been to the dance, had he?
That's what he said, but I didn't believe him. So I cried.
On the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Did he hear you?
I guess so. Then he hung up on me. And I just couldn't bear that, not saying goodnight or anything, and so...
You called him back?
Yes, Miss Marion.
Oh, my poor child.
He said he was sorry he'd hung up, that everything was all right. Only I asked him again, wouldn't he please tell me honestly whether he'd been to the dance? And he just talked awfully, Miss Marion. I can't tell you.
Please don't, dear. Please don't.
So after that, lots of times he didn't telephone, and then there were days he didn't come over. He'd be playing tennis and things with other people. And then Kitty Granger came back from Dark Harbor. I guess he went over to her house a lot. They all do.
Did you tell him you didn't like that, Sylvie?
Yes, I did, Miss Marion. I couldn't help it. It made me so mad. She's an awful girl, just awful. It made me simply wild that he'd rather be with her than with me. Honestly, it wouldn't have been so bad if it had been some terribly nice girl, someone miles more attractive than me. That wouldn't have been so bad, would it, Miss Marion?
I don't know, dear. I'm afraid one never thinks a man leaves one for a finer woman. But, Sylvie, one never points out the imperfections of his friends.
Well, I couldn't help it. So we had some terrible rows. Then I sort of saw him less and less. And you see, every time he came over, well, I was so scared it was the last time that I wasn't much fun, I guess.
I imagine not.
And I kept asking him what was the matter that he didn't come over every day the way he used to, and he said there wasn't a thing the matter. Honestly, he did, Miss Marion.
I believe you.
Now it's been 2 weeks and I haven't seen him. I didn't know that you could see somebody every day, all the time, and then it would just stop. I didn't think it could stop.
Were you ever afraid it would, Sylvie?
The last time I saw him, I was. He's so attractive and everything. I was always scared about other girls. I used to tell him, I knew he'd throw me over. It was just fooling, of course, but it wasn't, too.
Sylvie, men dislike dismal prophecies. I know Bunny Barclay's only 20-something, but all men are the same age, and they all hate the same things.
Oh, I wish I were like you. I wish I always knew what to do. If only I could see him, talk things over. If we could just get things straightened out.
No, dear. Men hate straightening out unpleasantness. They detest talking things over. Let the past die, child. Go on gaily from its unmarked grave. Remember, when you see that boy again, behave as you've been laughing together just an hour before.
But maybe I'll never see him again.
Of course you will. Don't you ever go to the club to play tennis?
Well, I haven't been for ages. They all ask what's the matter between Bunny and me. When I say there's nothing the matter, they look at me so queerly. But he said there was nothing the matter. Didn't he mean it?
I'm afraid he didn't.
Then what is it? Please tell me what to do. Tell me what you do that everyone loves you so. I'll do anything on earth you say. I was going to see him again. Do you think maybe it could ever be the way it was?
Sylvie, listen. Yes, I think you two may be close again. But it is you that must accomplish it. It isn't going to be easy. It isn't going to be quick. You must have two things, patience and courage. You must not telephone him again. You must not sit home and wait for the phone to ring. Go out and make yourself gay, and gaiety will come to you. And when you meet him again, it must be all different. For there was something the trouble, no matter what he says. Something deeply the trouble. You must be light, and you must be easy. For ease is the desire of all men. And there must never be reproaches, no rows. Nothing so embarrasses a man as to see a woman lose her dignity.
Oh, Miss Marion.
And remember, Sylvie, love is like quicksilver in the palm. Leave the fingers open and it stays in the hand. Clutch it, and like quicksilver, it darts away. And trust him, Sylvie. He's not deliberately hurting you. He never will unless you suggest it. Trust yourself, too. Don't let yourself become insecure. It sounds an impudence to remind you that there are always others when I know that it is only he you want. But it is a heartening thought. And he is not to know that he is the son, and there is no life without him. He must never know that again. It's a long way and a hard way, Sylvie. And you must watch every step you take along it. But it's the only way with a man.
I see. Yes, I see. I'm going to try and never do wrong things again. I'm going to try to be like you. It would be so wonderful to be like you, Miss Marion. To be wise and lovely and gentle. Men must all adore you. You're just perfect. How do you always know what is the right thing to do?
Well, you see, Sylvie, I've had several more years than you in which to practice.
Miss Marion.
Yes, dear.
How can I ever thank you for what you've done for me? You've given me back my life.
Oh, now, run along now. And don't forget, hold your love in your palm lightly.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Heaven, help me. I hope I helped her. May I speak to Mr. Lawrence, please? Oh, he isn't? Oh. Is this his secretary speaking? Could you tell me when he will be in, please? Oh, I see. Well, if he does come in, would you be kind enough to ask him, please, to call Miss Marion? Marion. No, that's all. That's the last name, yes. Yes, he knows the number. Thank you. He knows good and well what my name is. Just because she hates me. Oh, why doesn't he want to talk to me? Oh, he said he'd call. He said he'd call. He said there was nothing to trouble. He said, of course he'd call. Oh, he said so. He says, hello. Hello. May I speak to Mr. Lawrence, please? Oh, hasn't he? Well, couldn't you tell me where I could reach him? Oh, you don't know, I see. Well, if he does come in, would you be good enough to tell him that Miss Marion... Yes. He sent him, Marion, yes. Yes, I did call before. Please be sure to tell him to call me. Be sure, please. Will you? Please. He said he'd call. He did it. He said there was nothing to come on. He said he'd call me. He said he'd call me.
Very fine, Tallulah. And to you, Margaret, congratulations on having become a full-fledged actress.
Ah, isn't he sweet?
I didn't know you did impersonations too, darling. And Tallulah, with all due respect to you and Dorothy Parker, it seems to me that a girl with a problem about a man certainly shouldn't go seeking advice from another woman like you, who incidentally has a bit of a problem herself.
What would you suggest?
Well, in these so-called modern times, there has sprung up in shabby offices along 7th Avenue a profession known as domestic relations counselors. Now, let me show you how the problem of Sylvie and her boyfriend, Bunny, could have been resolved. Now, a little drama unfolds as Sylvie, played by Ginger Rogers, and Bunny, played by Fred Allen, come to the office of Dr. Hackenbush, Jr., played by Groucho Marx. Dr. Hackenbush's diploma on the wall proclaims that he is a graduate domestic relations counselor with a high degree of PHO, NY. A little shabby music, Meredith, if you please.
And
Your name is Bunny, is that right?
That's right, Doctor.
I see. And your name, young lady, is Sylvie?
Yeah, that's me.
I see. And now, how much of the $20 do you want to bet? Excuse me, it was the wrong program.
Yes. It was a quiz show they put on opposite.
Relax. I want you to feel right at home. Cigarette, Sylvie?
Thanks ever so. Don't mind if I do, Dr. Heckenbush.
Carrot, Bunny?
Thank you. What's up, Doc?
You didn't chew it long enough, Fred. Now, what is the problem between you two?
Well, Doc, it's like this. It's just awful, simply awful. Every day he used to see me. Every single day, all summer. And then he telephoned me, even if he'd only seen me 10 minutes ago. And then, all of a sudden, nothing. Just nothing. No phone calls. Nothing. Just nothing. Wouldn't have been so bad if the other girl had been miles more attractive than me. But this girl I seen him with. What's her name? Kitty or something. Kitty Foyle. Nothing. Just nothing.
Well, that's your side of the story. Now, what have you got to say, nothing? What have you got to say? Nothing?
Well,
I see. I thought it was Doctwell, Doctor.
You had nothing there for a while.
Well, you woke me up, Fred. Huh? Now we can do as much for them. A likely story. Would you give me that last line over again?
Well,
a likely story. I have some advice for you, Bunny. Love is like quicksilver in the palm. And before I give you some advice, I want you to cross my palm with some quicksilver. Obviously, Bunny, this girl is not for you. You've been calling her up all the time, and she doesn't want any part of you.
No, you got it wrong, Doc. I've been calling him up all the time.
Oh, obviously, Bunny, this girl is not for you. She's been calling you up all the time, and she doesn't want any part of you. The thing for you to do is to find another girl.
Well, that's more easily said than done, Doctor.
Nonsense. I just broke up a happy couple this morning. This girl would be delighted to go out with you. Here's her name and phone number.
Miss Marion?
That's right. Tallulah Marion. Call her up, and if a man answers, don't hang up. That's her.
Gee, thanks, Doc.
Building it up, eh?
That's
quite all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doc.
No, not you. Stick around. Come here, Sylvie.
Yeah?
Tell me, what are you doing after the show?
Nothing. Just nothing. Nothing. Simply nothing.
Good. We'd go to dinner, and then a show, and then a nightclub. How's that?
Fine, Doc.
And then what, Sylvie?
Nothing. Simply nothing.
Hey, I'm 3,000 miles for nothing. Simply nothing.
Groucho, Fred, and Ginger, that was hilarious. Thank you, darlings. And while I'm passing out thank yous, there are a few other thank you notes I want to send now. For all the good things that have happened to us during this season, I would like to say a few words of thanks to all the stars who have appeared with us here and who have graciously taken the kidding we've given them. I take quite a lot of it myself, you know. And I want to say, darlings, that in the 27 weeks the show has been on the air, you, the wonderful people out there who have called and written, who have given us your support, you've made me the happiest young actress in the world. All right, the happiest actress in the world. And I want to say a word of appreciation, too, to this marvelous network, especially Charles Bud Barry, the VP in charge of signing my checks, and to the rest of the talented people who get this show on the road every week. A very deep bow to our producer-director, Dee Engelbach, who after 27 weeks on the big show has become the proud father of an Ulster. Oh, he's so sweet. He's named it Tallulah. To Meredith Wilson, a musical genius in the true sense of the word, even though he can't seem to master the complexities of Give My Regards to Broadway, Remember Me to Herald Square. To our writers, Goodman Ace, Selma Diamond, Mort Green, George Foster, and Frank Wilson, who I am sure are convinced that any female who has discarded the braces on her teeth is an octogenarian. To Jim Harvey, the sweet, gray-haired young man who was our assistant director and who, when the show began 27 weeks ago, was a sweet, brown-haired young man. To Dorothy Brown, who was my choice for Miss Production Assistant of this or any other year, and how does she keep that femme divine figure? To our arranging staff, and to our announcer, whose name I finally learned to pronounce, Ed Hurley Who, Hurley He, Ho He, whatever it is. And to our big show orchestra and chorus, to George Vos and all the other engineers, to Sam Monroe, and all the NBC technicians associated with the big show, many, many thanks. And to you, ladies and gentlemen of the press, columns, and magazines, I'm especially grateful for your kind words. To one and all, my very sincere appreciation. You've been darling, darlings. And now we'll all be going our separate ways, and you'll probably forget all about me. Suddenly I feel lonely and forlorn.
My darling, my darling. I wanted to call you my darling.
Oh, isn't that sweet? They haven't forsaken me after all.
For many and many a day. My darling, I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted. And there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say.
There's nothing to say. My darling, get used to the name of my darling. It's here.
And so our curtain slowly falls until next September when we'll meet again. Until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you, whether near or far away. Ginger.
May you find that long-awaited golden day today, George.
May your troubles all be small ones, and your fortune 10 times 10, Lucien.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. But like,
may you walk with sunlight shining and the bluebird in every tree, Groucho.
May there be a silver lining back of every cloud you see. You know this, Meredith.
Fill your dreams with sweet tomorrows. Never mind what might have been,
Fred.
May the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet again. Margaret?
May you long recall each rainbow, then you'll soon forget the rain. May the warm and tender memories be the one.
Sweet tomorrow, never mind
May the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again.
May the good Lord bless and keep you.
Good night, darlings, and Godspeed to our armed forces all over the world who hear these broadcasts each week.
Until next September, when the big show returns with the biggest names in show business, this is Ed Herlihy saying goodbye. Coming up, the Phil Harris and Alice Faye Show. Enjoy it on NBC.